Our scripture reading this morning is Ecclesiastes 11:7 to 12:7. Ecclesiastes 11:7 to 12:7. Before we read God's word, let's pray and ask God the Holy Spirit to apply these truths as we read them to our lives. Heavenly Father, we stand and sit dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit to show us how you want us to live our lives on the basis of this passage, which is a call to us to remember you. We pray, Lord, that at every stage of life represented here, that you would enable us to learn the truths you want us to, so that we would remember you as the chief object of our love and affection. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes 11, starting at verse 7. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain, in the days when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Memorial Day emerged from the shadows of the war between the states. In the North, we call it the Civil War. It was first observed in the South. Before the close of the war, a group of women came and decorated the graves of their deceased husbands and sons, grandchildren, in order to honor the memory of their life. A few years later, in 1868, May 30th was set aside as a day for placing flowers upon the graves of all of those throughout the United States of America who sacrificed their lives in wartime. They decorated their graves. Soon Memorial Day was observed across this nation. And in World War I, President Woodrow Wilson set it aside as a day to remember those who have paid the sacrifice of bravery in war and peacetime in order to defend and protect not only our freedoms, but the freedoms of people all across this globe. The heritage we have in America is a great heritage of the freedom to be able to worship and serve God. And though we may see today some of those freedoms being impinged on, nevertheless, we all had the freedom to come here today and worship God. We still have the freedom to witness for the gospel. We still have the freedom to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must never forget to thank God for those freedoms, because every blessing comes from God. But it's also fitting to thank God for those who paid the sacrifice of their lives, to thank God for those who paid the sacrifice of their lives to defend and protect our freedom, because we quickly forget. We quickly forget our God. We quickly forget to enjoy the blessings He's given us by thanking Him for them. We quickly forget that in our times of vexation, we need to cast our cares on God. So much in the Christian life is learning to remember what we have forgotten. For example, if by God's Spirit we were brought to faith in Christ, it is because God's Spirit showed us we needed to renounce our self-trust and come to Him recognizing we have no goodness of ourselves by which we can have eternal life. We must cling to Jesus Christ alone. How quickly we forget. Because as the Christian life goes on, we can think, oh, I can do this in my strength. I can live in this situation by my power. And God lets us fail so that we'll learn to remember, correcting our spiritual amnesia, that we can only do anything good in the Christian life by the grace of God alone. So in this passage of Scripture, Solomon, who is most likely the writer, says, remember. Remember God aged. Remember God middle-aged. Remember God young. The Scriptures tell us in Nehemiah 4:4, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Isaiah 46:9, remember I am God and there is no other. The preacher who wrote this passage tells us to remember, to celebrate the joys and pleasures of life that God gives us by thanking Him. And remember God in our troubles by turning to Him. This passage is a call to remember God at every stage of life, and it has one of the most beautiful pieces of poetry ever written by the power of the Holy Spirit about old age, which we'll get to next week. Remember the Lord by rejoicing in sweetness and light. Verse 7. The first call is to rejoice in the goodness of life. Even though the preacher says life is vanity. You know what that word vanity means? He's not saying the goodness of life is absolutely meaningless, disregarded. No, it's a gift from God. He's saying it's a mist. It will disappear. It's elusive. You can't hold on to it, but thank God for it. He's the author of it. Don't interpret vanity that way. The preacher says, life is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice. And okay, this is a word to you, elderly, but it applies to all of us. This call is especially for the middle-aged and the elderly, people who have lived many years. It is good for you to find joy in the pleasures of life, that God has given you, and remember that it is God who has given them to you. James tells us in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from who? The Father of lights, who never changes. Many of God's gifts are sweet. It is sweet to taste honey. It is sweet to feel the fold of skin on a baby. It's sweet when a baseball bat hits the ball from that pitcher and there's a home run. It's sweet when you have somebody in your life who loves you. Because God made that happen. It is sweet when you can sing praises to God. Here as we gather for worship, and in the privacy of your home. It is sweet to have the Word of God to lean on because it's honeycomb, it's sweet. It is sweet to have a job that provides for you and your family. It is sweet in your loneliness to know that God is with you and you're never alone. It is sweet to have feet to walk. It is sweet to have hands to hold. It is sweet. Thank God for it. And if you don't have those things, you have a God, if you've trusted Him, who is with you and who has promised one day in the new heavens and new earth, you will have it. Many things in life are bright. First shaft of sunlight on the shimmering lake. A full rainbow against dark clouds. A blazing campfire on a warm summer night. Lights when you're coming home at your house from a long journey. Aged, remember to thank God for that which is light and sweet, because you will have them to the end of your life. That's why Jeremiah could say in Jeremiah 3:21 through 26, his family's likely killed by the Babylonians, his city's in ruins. Great is your faithfulness, God. Your mercies are what? New every morning. In the midst of his extreme suffering, he thanked God for who he is, who God is, and God gave him daily mercies to meet him. Don't forget to thank God for the pleasures of life that he has given you that are not sinful. How sweet life is to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Anyone who has Christ has the sweetness and brightness of faith in God that brings salvation. The peace of God that passes all understanding in our heartache. The grace of God to strengthen us in our weakness. Every spiritual blessing comes through Jesus Christ, who is altogether sweet, who is light himself. Even the sweetness and brightness of faith comes from God. God holds the gift of eternal life in his sovereign hands, and we would forever be defiant towards God and close our hearts. Our hands are curled up, and God grabs us by the wrist. And he opens our hands so he can press his grace into it. Then he closes our hands and folds them with his saving grace that is sweet. Brings the sweetness of eternal life and salvation. And if you're a believer, the more desperate you are in yourself, the more forcefully the grace and forgiveness of God is what you live in appreciation of. It is the guilt of our sin and the almighty love of God that flow together. And the sin that's confessed makes the love of God stronger simply because we realize we do not deserve a single blessing, and especially salvation, that God has given us. And I pray when we come to communion next Sunday, you look forward to it. Because in the Lord's Supper is a visible reminder, testified to the Holy Spirit, that our pardon for sin is met in Christ. What joy it is to live for many years, not only because we have more time for sowing and reaping, for serving God, but also because we have the opportunity to enjoy the goodness of life that God brings. I often remember the words of one elderly saint who was feeling the effects of their illness, the effects of their being aged, difficulty seeing, difficulty hearing, not able to move around. And I was worried about them, that they might be discouraged. Do you know what they said to me? Because I trust in Jesus, life gets better and better and better. Can you say that this morning? What is the right way to respond to life? It's rejoicing. Praise God for His goodness. That's what Solomon is getting at. Praise Him for everything sweet you taste, everything bright you see. The living God is the Lord of life. He created light through the word of His power, and He sustained that light and will until the Lord Jesus Christ returns, when He will create a new heaven and a new earth. According to the prophets, the Son of Righteousness will rise with what? Healing in His wings. Yet even as you rejoice, remember, there is more to life than sweetness and light. There are many dark days. There are many difficult days. And we will taste the bitter along with the sweet. Sooner or later, we will face disappointments. Sooner or later, we will be betrayed. Sooner or later, we will experience the grief of standing at the grave of a loved one, where we feel a piece of us has been buried. Sooner or later, there is going to be suffering and adversity in our lives. All that comes, including the years when we are old and gray, the preacher says is vanity. It's elusive. It's going to pass away. There's a day when our life will end now. Some commentators think the preacher is being contradictory. He's saying, Solomon is saying, on the one hand, rejoice before God and thank Him for sweetness and life. On the other hand, he's saying, prepare for your death. That's not contradiction. That's clarity. Solomon is saying, look, you need to rejoice in the sweetness and light now, because the day is coming when you will no longer be on this earth. And you need to make the most of the blessings that God gives you while you've got them. There are days of sweetness and light, and there are days of bitterness. So he has a view of life that's both joyful in its gifts and at the same time sober in its sorrows. What God is telling us is that there will be many dark days, but he's not being cynical, and he's not saying it to suck the joy out of our life. Instead, he's telling us to enjoy the gift of life now while we have it, as long as we can. The days of darkness qualify the enjoyment of life, but they do not negate it. That's his point. God's word, his promises, are as sweet as honey, Psalm 19, in spite of the dark days, and they carry us through the dark days. God is saying, remember to the end of our days, He is going to pour out sweetness and light on us. Take notice of it. Ask God to give you eyes to see it. And remember to thank Him for the sweetness and light. Greet each new day as Jeremiah did. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning. Second, remember to rejoice in God, young at heart. Look at verses 9 and 10. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So the call is to rejoice, not just elderly, not just middle-aged, but if you're young, children and young people, rejoice in God. So if you're aged, you should rejoice in God for the length of your days. Do you realize what a gift it is to be living today? I've had so many people I've known who have died. Many people. I read in obituaries, died before 60. I'm 60 now. My life is a total gift. And so is yours. Rejoice in God for the length of your days, older. And rejoice in God, children and young people, for the strength of your youth. That's his point. Young people, you enjoy many blessings in life. Here's some of them. You have fewer cares that come with adult responsibilities. Your bodies are getting strong and are going to get stronger. Your hearts are full of cheer and laughter. I remember Jane Conings used to love it when we brought our family because she said, oh, I just love having children around. Whether it was in her home or when she was dying in the nursing home, she loved children around. Why? Because she said they brought cheer and laughter to her, and she recognized they were gifts from God. Your future is full of possibilities. There's freedom to go new directions in life. One thing doesn't go well, playing the trumpet, you can try basketball. Young people still dare to dream and look at possibilities and make a difference in their world. These are all reasons to rejoice, yet there's a caution. He gives a caution. What he says about following one's heart might lead one to think, I can do whatever I want with my life. And he is definitely not saying that. That's how many people operate in their life. My life is mine and I'll do with it whatever I want, regardless of what the Lord says. And he's saying, children and young people, don't live that way. Remember to live for God. There are people, and young people included, they expect other people's schedules to operate by their desires and their passions and their whims. There are young people who act on impulse in buying and act on impulse in their lives, have not thought of the consequences of their actions and are suffering for a lifetime because of it. To make it clear that young people are called to a life of dedicated service to God, the passage says, walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but you know that all these things, for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Young people face many temptations. God is a righteous judge, young people. Your life matters to God. And because it matters, He observes everything we do. Every decision, every attitude, every relationship. And he does for the middle-aged and the aged. God sees it. Why? Because your life matters to God. It's important, Solomon is saying. So he sees it. He sees it. You face many temptations. One day we will have to stand and give account of our lives before God. There, and he's reminding us that every time we follow our hearts and do what looks good to us, remember, you'll have to give account before God. We all need to be reminded and beware of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I do and you do, and young people do, and the elderly do. And the preacher, Solomon, is not saying this to suck all the joy out of life. Oh, quite to the contrary. Nor is he saying God is out to get you. He's not saying that either. He's reminding us our life is important to God. Enjoy the blessings that God gives you now and live your life to the fullest for the glory and praise of God. Make the most of every experience God gives you and use it for God. The word judgment here at the end of verse 9 means literally the judgment. And thus it may refer to the final judgment when the secrets of people are revealed in Christ Jesus. Now that day may seem a long way off. What does God's judgment have anything to do with the decisions I make today? And so Solomon's saying they make a lot of difference. They're important. Don't just think, well, it's a long way off and I can live however I want. God sees everything we do. God looks to the ends of the earth and sees everyone. Job 28:24. This means everything we do and everything we decide matters to God because you matter. How you spend your money, how you take care of your body, how you handle your relationships, what you see and touch and taste and feel, it matters to your judge who is your Savior and loves you beyond what you can ever imagine. So, remember God, children. Remember God, young people. In other words, this is what Solomon's saying in a nutshell. Rejoice responsibly. Celebrate what God has given you in a way that honors Him. Enjoy life's pleasures that God gives you to the fullest now. Because life is vanity and you may not always have those. So rejoice in them. But remember God who has given them to you. Celebrate the gift of life by remembering and relying on God's great love for you in Jesus Christ, the one who takes your judgment. Trust Jesus now, young people. Celebrate the gift of youth. But remember to celebrate it by trusting Jesus and using your mind, your will, your talents for the glory of God. And then thirdly, remember God by living a God-centered life. The preacher's last instructions, yes, they apply mainly to young people, but they apply to every stage of life as well. The people who probably would understand this the best are older. It's a call to remembrance. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. This is a call to live a God-centered life. Children, young adults, by making the Lord God your highest priority. By loving Him who loves you and gave himself for you. In fact, the key to all the other things in this passage is this: remember God, a command. The reason we are able to rejoice in our long years is because you remember to thank God for the gift of this moment, the gift of the pleasures and blessings God gives you. The reason you can rejoice, children and young people, in the gifts that God gives you, in the time you have to make a difference for the Lord, is because God's at the center of your life. And you remember Him. The reason we need to walk in ways that please the Lord is because He is our Maker and our Judge, who took the judgment of our sin on His cross. And the best remedy for vexation is to cast your care on God. He says in verse 10, remove vexation from your heart. What does that mean? It's the worries of life. It's the problems of life. It's the trials of life that cause agitation and irritation and grief and pain. They're different for different people. What angers or irritates one may not anger or irritate another. And life is full of physical pain. There's disabilities. There's disease. There's eventual death. We should do whatever we can by the grace of God to remove discouragement from our lives and to minimize damage to our bodies. That's the wisdom coming from Solomon. That's not a call to escape the pain in life-destroying drugs and life-destroying alcohol in sinful pleasure. But it's a call to take care of ourselves physically and take care of ourselves spiritually by remembering God as much as we can. The very best remedy for vexation is to cast your cares on God, who cares for you. And along with that, to be a community that cares for each other, where you have friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, who can come alongside of you to bear your burden, to hear your hurts, to speak the word of God where you need it to be spoken in ways that are comforting, in ways that are encouraging. In other words, to remember God is to live your whole life for Him. This is not a perfunctory mental act, remembering. It's to set aside the pretense of our self-sufficiency and to remember God. Remember to praise Him for blessings. Remember to cast yourself on Him in vexation. Young people, remember God. Middle-aged and older, remember God. Let us all remember God. Remember God when you're outside in creation, and remember Him indoors in your kitchen or bedroom. Remember God when you're playing the piano. Remember God when you're working at school. Remember God at all times. Remember God while you still have the strength of mind. Remember God now, young people, is the time to trust Christ, the time to build the Word of God into your life, the time to rest in the love of Jesus before you reach an aged life when life will have no pleasure for you, Solomon says. Live your life now for the glory of God, when you can make a difference. Live for God now when you're charting your life and you're deciding, how am I going to use my talents and abilities and cultivate them for God's glory? Do it now. Remember God now. Solomon is going to close this book by again reminding us all, your life matters to God, and there's a judgment coming. And even though he doesn't end the book on the promise of grace, he gets us ready for it. He gets us ready for it by showing us that the judgment is coming. And what the scriptures point out is that Jesus Christ entered into this vain world, into this futile life, but he did more than that. He did more than that. He himself experienced the ultimate judgment of your sin and my sin on his cross, so that one day when we stand before God and look in the eyes of our judge, we'll see the eyes of a loving Savior who gave his life for us. And even these words from Solomon cause us to see that the only way to live a life of eternal meaning and value, the only way to remember God, is by trusting in Jesus, by living for him now, by anchoring yourself to him now. Whether you're young or old, it applies equally. Remember God in the days of your youth. Remember God in the days of your work. Remember God in the days when you're aged. And you ask yourself, what am I going to do with my life? What can I do? Remember God and ask him to show you the next thing you can do. Maybe it's building into the lives of those who are younger than you for the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture in which you call us to remember you, whether young or middle-aged or old, whatever stage of life, that you've given us this word because you love us and you want us to make the most of life for your glory. We pray, Lord, we pray that you would give us a settled trust in your gracious love for the ways, Lord, that we've experienced regrets in life and look back and wish things had been different. Enable us, Lord, to recognize and remember that you forgive our sins, and you enable us to learn from them to serve you better today. Lord, for the young, the children, we pray that they would remember you and live their lives with all that they are and have for your honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.